Good morning. I've had weeks before when I'm gone that I know I'm going to have hotel time, I know I'm going to have time to myself, and talks can just come in pieces at you. And I had a long time to prepare. So knowing I was going to be gone, I was waiting on some things to maybe strike a chord that I would write down or record on my phone notes and bring back up. Last night at 12, I was still struggling and to put together what would be a semblance of something I could give. And while this might be a little soon for you Hawkeye fans, really the end of the game last night was what prompted this all to kind of come together. And I'm sorry for the loss, but that really brought forth some things for me. So in 2 Corinthians 4:15-17, it says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So what I put together is that you have faithful and unfaithful people in life. Some of you may know a few that you can think of right off the top of your head. What is the difference between the faithful and the unfaithful? Now, I don't know either of these people. But using a sports context, last night the quarterback for Penn State stepped into a situation with 1:42, moved them down the field, and scored. Okay? Now again, I wasn't on either side of that, but his moving down the field showed belief, not in just himself, but in his system, that he knew he was going to get the calls from the sideline, he knew he was going to be able to step up, and what he had to do was deliver on the things that he was given from his coaches. So we're given direction in life. Faithful people understand that when you're given direction, you follow direction with belief. Unfaithful people are looking for a reason not to believe it. In a non-sports context, in everyday speech, we're given direction from somewhere. If you are in charge of people, if you are in charge of your own business, there's things you have to do. Those of you that deal with the land, I'll use Kelly. If we're planting, you know there are things that you do after you plant to fertilize, to do the things you need to do to produce growth, or at least hope and enhance growth, proposed growth. Because what you need is a fruit. You need something to come from that. So as a faithful person who would fertilize and water, hoping and expecting a result, you're hoping for something to come on with that. Faithful people, we just keep on, yeah, this is sad, and I'm sorry, it's a part of a song too, but keep on keeping on, all right, is the faithful. Because that's what we do. If you have faith, you understand that when you wake up, it might not be the brightest spot in the day, it might not be the most wonderful thing that's happening, but you know that faithful is going to lead you ahead. Something is going to happen to take care of you. Might not happen right away, might not happen when you think you need it, but it is going to happen. It's something that's going to take you there. We are determined, and I'm saying we because I'm counting us all in this room to be the faithful. All right, so I'm not speaking today to the unfaithful. I'm going to talk about them, but I'm not speaking to the unfaithful. I'm speaking to the faithful. We are determined so that when we set our minds to it, we believe there's going to be a result. It might not always be exactly the result you thought, but it is the result that you get. There's always going to be a result. We're determined to find that result. Now, if you're determined to find the results you want as a Christian, you obviously have to be faithful. Not a long walk. It's an easy thing, right? Let's just be faithful every day and it'll come to me. Because last night at 11 o'clock, I was still sweating it, and I didn't know what I was going to do getting up here to front, in front of everybody to talk. I sometimes keep my old ones or half my notes that I write on sums that I can't put together for pieces that maybe I can pull into a talk later. And I was hoping that I had a little bit of reserve when I got home that I could find a couple paragraphs of something that I could piece together. Didn't have to happen. Determined I knew it was going to come. We're diligent. Sometimes the results you're looking for or the faith that you're looking for has to be brought about by hard work. Things just don't happen. You know, those that don't work shouldn't eat. I think I've said that more than once. We're expected to work, to strive for things, to dig in, to have a plan, to work towards the end result of being a Christian that lives with in our heavenly life eternal. We have things we have to do here. We are in place for that. We can't just sit back and let it happen. There's things we do as the faithful to make our lives go forward as Christians. That's what we do. We're persistent in that. We don't stop. It's a situation of knowing that we have to do certain things to see our Heavenly Father and live with Him. Persistency is something that isn't able to really be taught. I think that's something that's in you. I think you bring it with you. You know, to want to keep going forward, mistake after mistake, fall after fall, it is difficult. Lombardi, and one of the best quote he ever said, was being a competitor is not always about winning or losing, it's getting back up after you've been knocked down. That's a competitor. That's a persistent person. Someone understands just because I'm lying on my back now doesn't mean that's the way I'm going to finish. That's just the way it is right at this moment. For the unfaithful, in that situation, they lie there. Talking to my kids about sports, I always wanted them to be the one that didn't always have to be the game winner. And it's a competitive nature. But I wanted them to be the dagger that just demolished all hope for the other team. Completely demolished hope. I wanted that to be the shot. The shot from three, the deep one, the layup, the steal, the long pass, the sprint pass you at the end to win the race. I wanted that to be the thing that just took it. That just knocked the wind out of the sails of the other team. Now, on a competitive nature, and as a Christian, we don't want to knock the sails out of anybody. All right? I don't look at being a Christian as being a competitor. I look at being as a Christian as being a faithful person that's trying to bring more to God. If you are faithful and you are the example that you want to be, people are going to be drawn to you. You know, if we are drawn to the light, that's true statement. If you are a light in the darkness, you will have people coming to you. As moths to a flame, they will be drawn in. The faithful person does not know how to quit. The one thing I do instill, I hope, in my kids is that sense of not quitting. I don't believe you quit. We've talked about that before. That doesn't mean, and let's put it in a life term, because something goes wrong, because something is not how you want it, because it's not the greatest part in this little cookie-cutter path that you saw of your life when you were 14 years old or 15 years old, because it's a step in the way, because it's a wall you have to break through, go over, or find a way around, does not allow you to quit in this life. As a faithful Christian, we are given direction. We are given help. We are given a path. And not a path that says it's going to be all gold-laid, smooth road. That we're going to have to move some stones in our way in order to get to our quest. Unfaithful can find a reason, can they not? In our daily lives, can you think of one unfaithful person that will walk away from the problem? The first to quit, first to throw their hands up in the air, so, I'm out, forget it. There's always someone. The first sign of trouble, they are the ones that are able to find a reason to quit. Foot hurts. I can't run that. I have a bad pinky nail. I'm not allowed to get through that. I always use the example of one of my AU kids getting kicked in the face in a basketball game. Get right in the face. He limped off the court. Were his legs hurt? No. But you know, as he's holding his face, he's limping off the court. That same kid provided a lot of joy for me, so there was some great things about him. And once we got past a few of those little small things, he's turning into at least a decent human being. And there's a kid that needs prayers, and I do pray for him every day. As an unfaithful person, as a faithful person, have you ever said, why does this happen to me? You know that as a faithful person, we say it. You know, why is this going on? I mean, when is it going to end? You know, if there's been a string of personal losses in your life, you know, if friends pass away, parents, you know, when is this going to stop? You know, and you're hoping soon, because those griefs of loss are hard to overcome. A truly faithful person doesn't dwell on why is this happening. They are there to say, how do I go on? What is my next step? How do I help the people that have had this loss and help them to move on? How do I make my friends whole again? How do I help my friends go on? I've always looked at God that He's not as concerned about what's happening. I've said before, I don't think Christ cares that we score a touchdown and give Him credit for it. I don't think that a three-pointer and a Hail Mary across the chest has any bearing on our Lord. I think that Christ cares what we're becoming. I think as He looks at us as a work in progress, at least what you're seeing in front of you is a work in progress. So I have to approach it that way. I think that when Christ and I talk, we're discussing which direction I need to take next after I apologize for what I've done. I realized that this morning when we were praying, I concentrate better with my eyes open when I'm talking, because most of my prayers are through the day, and generally my eyes are open because I'm in the car. I'm where I need to be, and while I'm seeing what's ahead of me, I'm able to talk to my God like He's there in the car with me. And I think that's a big part of becoming a faithful person, a Christian. Again, I think what we are becoming daily is what our Lord wants of us. I think as we continue to grow, continue to become stronger, I think that's when our Lord is happiest, because we're becoming more than we started out to be that day. The faithful versus the unfaithful. Will you continue to grow when life stinks? Because there's times when life stinks. Okay? If that's the first person to tell you that, I'm sorry. It's going to stink once in a while. It's just the way it is. It's not going to be great all the time. It's not going to be roses and sunshine. Sometimes it rains, but we need to rain. For a whole bunch of reasons. So will you continue when life stinks? Are you going to be able to be faithful when life around you is not whole? When there's a piece of you that's gone? I worry about my friends my older friends and their lives, because there's some very good friends that I have and a little more advanced than I am in age. Not that that makes any difference, but they've got physical afflictions and they've got all kinds of problems. And I worry about their being here more because my own selfish being is that I want them to stay, but I know they're not going to be able to all the time. So I worry about them, their families, and their wives beyond that when I know that what is inevitable is going to happen. Okay, you have to be able to be there. A faithful versus unfaithful. It says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Strong statement. Do not become weary in doing good, because sometimes it is hard to do the right thing. It is not easy. In fact, sometimes doing the right thing is not the most enjoyable, it is not the easiest, and it is the toughest and worst to prepare for. But yet it is the right thing. It is something that we need to learn to do. If you continue down the right path, you will be rewarded. If you do not give up. We are always tested in life. Maybe not every day, but we are always tested. When you are safe in the room, it's nice. It's comforting. But you're tested through life. Always somebody presents you with something. Be it in your day-to-day life or in your just meeting with people. I am forced at times to be a leader of a group. Easiest way to say it. Forced to be the leader of the group. I am the attitude of that group. If I have to walk into a situation where we are all in there and I have to be the life of the party, and there's just, I wish there was a big hole big enough I could crawl into and hide. I do not like working the room. It's one of those things where you're responsible for the mood of the room, so you have to keep circling the room to make sure everybody stays up. That's what you do. We have these things in the food business called food shows. Now, sometimes they're very enjoyable because you get to see people you don't get to talk to a lot, maybe once a year. It's great to see those people. But if you're in a situation where you're leading a group that needs to be at this show and needs to be happy, it's sometimes tough. I would much rather talk to a person one-on-one, sit in a group one-on-one, in a group one-on-one, and find out about those people. It's easier for me to have a conversation one-on-one so I can direct it at you, I can direct it whoever I'm talking to, so that I get what I want out of it. So that I try to give you what you need out of it. So if you want to know things about me, I can deliver that. I don't deliver those in group message. I'm private about my life. If we talk, I don't mind telling you things that are going on. But in group message, it's sometimes difficult for me. And I run the other way. Are you becoming what you can be? A question asked by motivational speakers everywhere. Are you what you can be? Even at one point, the Army had that sign, signal. Be what you can be. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you what you can be? Kind of a tough question. It's not always so easy to answer. Are you what you can be? Do you do enough during your day to be worthy of your afterlife with Christ? Tough question. Something you all have to answer for yourselves. Are you doing what you can do? Or do you coast? We have those moments, and I would say even during the work day, where sometimes you're just coasting until the buzzer rings. Just, okay, man, get me to 3:30, get me to 5:30, and when it's over, I'm out. And I can smell the fresh air as I run out the door. Is that where you want to be? Are you coasting? Are you doing just enough to get by? you know, I'm not with you in the car every day. You know, the people that love you generally aren't always with you somewhere else. There's points when you're alone. When you're alone, are you doing what you need to do? There's times when I'm alone in that car, all I'm trying not to do is shake the wheel and yell at somebody. There's times I have to pull over and walk around my car so that I stop screaming at the steering wheel because it's upset me. But I found that when I come home, it's better that I do that, that I leave that happiness in the car, because it's not always well received when I get home. All right? You shouldn't be bringing that with you. Right? Are you doing what makes it good enough for our Lord to help you move forward? He's there to help you. For the faithful in the Christian world, He is there to hold your hand and walk you forward as far as you need to go. I can't read that. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that can far outweigh them all. Yeah. As Christians, we die and we live. We do this every day, right? Each day we live, we grow towards the end. So in a way, the body is going backwards while our lives continue on. As Christians, we fall apart and we are renewed. Our bodies don't respond the way they used to as you get older. When you were young, when you're small and growing, the body just doesn't react like it does when you're past that point of not going up anymore and you start to expand. It doesn't do that anymore, the way we do things. But we're renewed in spirit every day. If we're Christians. So as the body decays, we live forward. Because our life with Christ goes on. As we fall apart, we're renewed in spirit and mind. So that our mind with Christ can grow and get stronger. As a Christian, we are heading to the inevitable. And I don't like to speak to the negative when I'm up here. We are heading to the inevitable, which means at some point, unless Christ returns while we are all living, we are going to pass from this earth. But as we head that direction, and as our body slowly fades, we are experiencing the new life in Christ. We are heading to a new life. We aren't just winding this one down. We aren't starting this one so that we can wind it down. We're heading to a new life in Christ. Experience a new life with Him. We are the faithful. I would ask only two things before we end service. And that first one is that if you know someone unfaithful, that you make it a point to speak to them. Find a way to speak to them, that you can help them along. Because the best thing about heaven is that there's always room for more. It's kind of like grandma's dinner table. There's always room for another one. We want them to come with us. So as you're searching, as you find someone that you think is unfaithful but could easily flip that switch, maybe they just need a little help to realize what they have in front of them. Ask them in. Become their friend. Become their Christian friend. Make them who they can be, as the Lord would want you to do. If you have problems, if you would like to become part of this church, we would ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the last hymn.